Armageddon, 2419 AD, by Philip Francis Nolan. Foreword. Elsewhere I have set down, for whatever interest they have in this, the 25th century, my personal recollections of the 20th century. Now it occurs to me that my memoirs of the 25th century may have an equal interest 500 years from now, particularly in view of that unique perspective from which I have seen the 25th century entering it, as I did, in one leap across a gap of 492 years. This statement requires elucidation. There are still many in the world who are not familiar with my unique experience. 5 centuries from now, there may be many more, especially if civilization is fated to endure any worse convulsions than those which have occurred between 1975 AD and the present time. I should state, therefore, that I, Anthony Rogers, am, so far as I know, the only man alive whose normal span of 81 years of life has been spread over a period of 573 years. To be precise, I lived the first 29 years of my life between 1898 and 1927, the other 52 since 2419. The gap between these two, a period of nearly 500 years, I spent in a state of suspended animation, free from the ravages of catabolic processes, and without any apparent effect on my physical or mental faculties. When I began my long sleep, man had just begun his real conquest of the air in a sudden series of transoceanic flights in airplanes driven by internal combustion motors. He had barely begun to speculate on the possibilities of harnessing subatomic forces, and had made no further practical penetration into the field of ethereal pulsations than the primitive radio and television of that day. The United States of America was the most powerful nation in the world. Its political, financial, industrial, and scientific influence being supreme, and in the arts also, it was rapidly climbing into leadership. I awoke to find the America I knew a total wreck, to find Americans a hunted race in their own land, hiding in the dense forests that covered the shattered and leveled ruins of their once magnificent cities, desperately preserving and struggling to develop in their secret retreats the remnants of their culture and science, and the undying flame of their sturdy independence. World domination was in the hands of Mongolians, and the center of world power lay in inland China, with Americans one of the few races of mankind unsubdued. And it must be admitted, in fairness to the truth, not worth the trouble of subduing, in the eyes of the Han air lords who ruled North America as titular tributaries of the most magnificent. For they needed not the forests in which the Americans lived, nor the resources of the vast territories these forests covered. With the perfection to which they had reduced the synthetic production of necessities and luxuries, their remarkable development of scientific processes and mechanical accomplishments of work, they had no economic need for the forests, and no economic desire for the enslaved labor of an unruly race. They had all they needed for their magnificently luxurious and degraded scheme of civilization, within the walls of the 15 cities of sparkling glass they had flung skyward on the sites of ancient American centers, into the bowels of the earth underneath them, and with relatively small surrounding areas of agriculture. Complete domination of the air rendered communication between these centers a matter of ease and safety. Occasional destructive raids on the wastelands were considered all that was necessary to keep the wild Americans on the run within the shelter of their forests, and prevent their becoming a menace to the Han civilization. But nearly 300 years of easily maintained security, the last century of which had been nearly sterile in scientific, social, and economic progress, had softened and devitalized the Hans. It had likewise developed, beneath the protecting foliage of the forest, the growth of a vigorous new American civilization, remarkable in the mobility and flexibility of its organization, in its conquest of almost insuperable obstacles, in the development and guarding of its industrial and scientific resources, all in anticipation of that day of hope to which it had been looking forward for generations, when it would be strong enough to burst from the green chrysalis of the forests, soar into the upper air lanes, and destroy the yellow incubus. At the time I awoke, the day of hope was almost at hand. I shall not attempt to set forth...